It's easy for me to feel close to God when life is good, but when I'm hurting, I feel like He's abandoned me.
I want to just crawl in a hole when I make a mistake.
Authenticity would be great if there was somebody I felt safe being real with.
I know I need more rest.
Failure is my biggest fear.
Do you ever hear these kinds of voices in your own head?
I sure do. And usually at 2:37 in the morning.
Well, this is Sherry Gregory.
And I'm Amy Carroll.
And you're listening to Grit and Grace, Good Girls Breaking Bad Rules, the podcast that equips you to lose who you're not, love who you are, and live your one life well.
If this is your first time listening in, this is a podcast for women who love Jesus and long for the abundant life He's promised.
But some days, maybe even most days, you feel kind of like a puppet with perfectionism and people-pleasing pulling your strings.
If nothing you do ever seems good enough.
If you try too hard to do too much for too many for too long with too little.
If you exhaust yourself spending time to keep everyone else happy and your own needs go unmet.
If you struggle with the C word, control.
We get it. And you're in the right place, girlfriend.
Grit and Grace brings you weekly encouragement from wise, witty women.
Because we have the best guests.
We do. Women who come alongside you and equip you to replace the exhaustion of self-made goodness with the rest of God's grace.
Every week, we kick culture's bad rules to the curb so that we can follow Jesus's good plans for us.
So, Amy, I am so sorry. I am so disappointed. I feel like I've let you and our listeners down because last week I built up that I was going to read this great review from one of our readers of our new book, and I couldn't get permission to do it.
And aww.
Since I'm a rule follower, I'm not going to read it without getting permission.
Well, it's okay. We got an email today about Exhale. Can I read it to you?
Oh, please do.
She said, I'm so excited for you and Sherry because of Exhale. I just started reading last night, but I couldn't put the pages down. Fired up to share Exhale with the world. Love and blessings, Jane Ann. Don't aww, you love her?
I love her. Thank you, Jane Ann. That's amazing. Oh my goodness. Well, and I got an email from Deanna. Can I read that?
Oh. Yes, please.
She said, girls, I have just started reading the book and so far, and then she did like dot, 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 dot to create suspense. And then in all caps, I absolutely love it. Can't put it down.
Yay! Well, listeners, we are both so excited to share our book baby with you in less than a month.
Oh my goodness, yes. Okie dokie. Well, Wendy talked about the uns of life, the unanswered prayers, the unfulfilled dreams, and unmet expectations. So, Amy, which one of these has tripped you up the most and why?
Well, there's a hands-down winner on this one for me, and it is unmet expectations. You know, when I think back to really the root of my perfectionism is unmet expectations for myself, primarily. I mean, primarily for myself, I call it the pictures of perfect in my head. I have these pictures of perfection for every situation that I walk into, and I joke, but it's only really a sad little not so funny joke that as a bossy little girl, I wasn't only going to try to be perfect myself. I would help you to be perfect too. So,
so generous of you.
I know. I'm just so misunderstood. But anyway, / disliked. But yeah, it's those unmet expectations that have really, really tripped me up. And it really became glaring. This was a couple years ago, probably. So it was even after Breaking Up with Perfect came out. And I was having this conversation with Barry, and I was like, so what kind of expectations did you have when we got married? And Sherry, I mean, the man looked genuinely puzzled.
Oh, no.
Like, he's like, well, what do you mean? And I was like, well, you know, like, did you expect me to cook dinner every night? Or did you expect me to be quiet during the football game? Or, you know, I'm thinking about probably all his unmet expectations. And he seriously said, well, I just, you know, expected you to love me for the rest of our lives. And I was like, that's it? Because, like, could I just list mine? And so, poor thing, you know, and I think I've shared this here before. It was in that flash of insight that, wow, he really doesn't have expectations of me, or not a long list, that I thought his greatest gift to me is to let me be. And I mean, I feel that every day, that I don't feel like I disappoint him and all that, you know, all the negative things that go with unmet expectations. And so that's become my new goal, is to let Barry be, to let my friends be, to let my kids be, and to let go of those unrealistic expectations that I've carried around for so long. How about you?
Well, okay, so first of all, you stole my answer.
It's a shocker that we would both choose that one, isn't it?
Yeah, but I expected you to, so at least that's one less unmet expectation in my life. So, since you already took my number one answer, I'll go ahead with the second place answer. And it is a distant second, but it is an important one. I'll go with unfulfilled dreams, because I have been known to make my own dreams come true. Thank you very much. And as I was thinking about this, I thought back to almost two decades ago when I was heavily involved in a direct sales company. I was on track to earn the incentive trip to the Bahamas. And of course, Dana and I had never been to the Bahamas on a teacher's salary. We were never going to go to the Bahamas. But as the year was wrapping up, I could see that I wasn't going to hit it. I was going to be really close. But by really close, I don't mean, you know, two digits or even three digits. I mean a comma. And instead of doing what a healthy, recovered perfectionist would do, which is say, you know what? I came close. I'm going to be gritty. I'm going to be resilient. I'm going to celebrate what I did do. I was still so all or nothing. I was like, it's the dream or death. Like, there's no
second prize for me, baby.
No, that's right. No. Second place is the first loser. So
I have never heard that. That's amazing. Okay.
Yeah. And so you can probably guess what I did. I pulled out the credit card and I bought a boatload of inventory. And of course, the story I told myself was, I'm going to sell it all next year. But I mean, the logic of it was so terrible. Like, I'm having a hard time selling anything now. But if I buy things, they will somehow easily sell in January. So I wasn't thinking it through. I didn't seek godly counsel. I just did this thing. And here's the thing. It was an amazing trip. I mean, we had a wonderful time. It was, you know, total luxury. But from the time I placed those orders, I could not sleep or enjoy myself because I had weight on my chest of all of that debt that I had accrued. And I mean, I'd really maxed us out. And so on this trip, if we had forgotten something at home, we couldn't afford to even buy a replacement. So here we are at this luxurious resort, supposed to be having fun. And we did, but it wasn't worth it. Yeah. I thought the worst thing in the world would be to miss the dream. And what I learned was, no, it's even worse to force the dream. So, yeah.
So that's so clear. I mean, that makes things so clear. So unmet expectations are really usually unrealistic expectations. Unmet dreams are often forced dreams, not always, but often. And so, it's worth some examining to look, why are these things unmet, right?
Yeah.
So maybe that's a whole different show. But so one of the things that Wendy talked about, though, in the midst of those gaps that we're facing in our life, is that God is immeasurably more. And so I've been processing this idea of immeasurably more, and I'm just wondering, how does it strike you?
Yeah, I'm not going to come out.
Well,
go ahead.
Before, as I interrupt you, before I ask you a question and interrupt you, before we say that, let's just say that this is scriptural. So anyway, go ahead.
Oh, well, now I'm going to sound even worse because.
Well, no, I have some negative things to say.
My problem is I'm skeptical about anything that I can't turn the package over and read the ingredients and the nutritional information for. Mm-hmm. So I struggle with this whole concept of immeasurably more because I want to measure it. I want to be able to count it. I want to be able to weigh it. I want to be able to reduce it to a checklist and, you know, then line it up next to my own plans, expectations. And so all of this just ends up boiling down to having a hard time trusting God, as if maybe I'm suspicious that he's going to hand me something and tell me that it's a delicious smoothie. And then I take a sip and find out it's filled with kale. So, yeah, sorry, it's just the truth.
You are full of the best pictures today. Second place is the first loser. I think I'm going to get a yummy smoothie, but it's kale. All right. These are really helpful. No, but you know what? And as I listen to you say that, so the thing about the back of a package, too, is it spells it out exactly.
Mm-hmm. No surprises.
So you can count on it. It's kind of like the rules, right? And so I'm thinking one of my qualms with immeasurably more is that I'm always afraid that God's immeasurably more is defined differently than mine. And I believe his is right, but then what if I mess it up? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the list of ingredients would be really helpful. I see that. and so it's funny because as I thought about this idea of immeasurably more, I thought, well, on one hand, I really struggle with that idea of immeasurably more. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe it for you. Mm-hmm. It's for me that I'm not quite sure it's all going to work out quite right. And on the other hand, it's like, it's totally a thrilling idea, right? Mm-hmm. That we're like, immeasurably more. That's what God has for me. That's incredible. And there have been times in my life that I have so clearly experienced God's immeasurably more. Mm. So it's thrilling. So I've got this qualm with it, and then I have this thrill that goes with it. And then, well, is it okay if I have a third hand?
Because oh my gosh, yes. As long as I don't have to figure out where it's going to grow from your body.
Oh, wow. My head. Let's just put it out of my head there. So with my third hand, it also terrifies me because immeasurably more, or Wendy said super abundant, which is amazing. But it sounds amazing, but also overwhelming. And so I'm like, if I got it, would I even be able to handle it? You know? And so anyway, these are my three arms or three hands that I was weighing all the immeasurably more with. So
And that's a great question. Probably we all can relate to that question. Would I even be able to handle it? And the answer is no, we can't handle any of this on our own. But that's where the question comes at from, you know, if God, almost as if God is going to give this and then leave us to deal with it by ourselves. Like, he's the great giver, but he's not going to be the supporter in the midst of it. So
yes. Ooh. It kind of makes me think about, I had somebody ask me, I was at a speaking event last weekend, and they said, well, how did you get to this place? Like, which is so funny because, you know,
everybody you mean arriving? Because obviously you've arrived.
Right. Except we all know the ups and downs of our job. And I did start thinking about, how did I get to be a speaker, and how did I get to write two books? And you know what? It's just like anything else that becomes immeasurably more in our life, because I'm so grateful for those things, but is that you get them in little bits.
Oh, so true.
I heard Lisa Turkhurst one day, she was being interviewed after Made to Crave, and she had just hit the New York Times bestseller list. And somebody said, how does it feel to be an overnight success? And that was kind of the way I got this question too. And she said, it feels like 15 years of hard work, you know.
Good for her. Good answer.
Right. And so, but that's how God equips us for immeasurably more too, usually, is we just get it a little bit at a time, one step of obedience at a time. So
I love that. And, you know, I also think I probably can recognize the immeasurably more in hindsight. And it doesn't look scary at that point. It doesn't look overwhelming. I'm like, oh, that's what it looks like. It's trying to find it, see it, control it. There's the C word again. Figure out how I'm going to make it happen. Yeah, that's where I get into trouble. All right. Well, Wendy also talked about living on autopilot in our spiritual lives. I thought that was such a great phrase. That's really stuck with me. So what does living on autopilot look like in your spiritual life, and how do you fight it?
Well, I mean, I've already referenced earlier in this episode about how I'm a rule follower. You know, I want to know what the contents are in the package. So I'll read the list, or, you know. And so I tend towards that in my spiritual life, too. Like if you give me a book on prayer and it tells me I do A, B, C, and D, then I do A, B, C, and D, and maybe E also. And then if you tell me a formula for studying my Bible, like I'm all in for the formula. Give me the rules. Give me the checklist. And, you know, on one hand, there's nothing wrong with that. Spiritual disciplines are important. But God has really been trying to break me of some of this, I believe. And about a couple years ago, he started saying to me when I'd sit down and with my Bible and my formulas and my notebook and all that, I just felt like he was whispering, you know, just follow me, Amy. Just follow me. And that has been a sweet thing that, yes, I still have some of these spiritual disciplines in my life, but I try to be sensitive to following God during my time with him. And that has really, it's kind of broken that spiritual stupor that I can get into when I'm just following the rules. And how about you?
Well, moving on to the next question.
Sherry, we are not moving on to the next question, girlfriend.
All right, fine. For me, autopilot means that it becomes normal for me to just keep adding more and more to my plate so that my quiet time, which is a form of rest time. So we all know that rest is my word for the year. Rah, rah, yay, go rest. And so what ends up happening is that my quiet time and anything that resembles rest does start to fall off just during, this particularly busy week. And then it turns into, it's just a busy month. And then it ends up being, this is a busy season of my life. Isn't that a great phrase that just gives me absolution? Well, it's a busy season, like as if that's
what... It sounds very spiritual.
I know. And the problem is I don't tend to recognize that I've gone into this autopilot until a friend and I are talking and she's just really naturally sharing with me something that God has shown her in scripture. And my number one response is to feel completely resentful and feel like she's being super spiritual. And then I realized, I fell into this autopilot that just kind of squeezed out the time for quiet time or spending time with Jesus. And so then the thing that I do that gets me out of this is to break the rules. Because I, for the longest time, have had it drilled into my head that if I don't start the day with Jesus, that's it. It's like the anvil is going to fall from the sky and it like almost as if nothing else counts. And so it's really easy for me. Like if I do check email right when I wake up, that's it. I can't have quiet time. You know, it's like the diet mentality. Like I'll start over again tomorrow or I'll start over again next week when I can do it perfectly. And so for me, getting out of the autopilot of allowing myself to get overly busy which then becomes the autopilot of, I can't spend time with Jesus because I can't do it right. To say, you know what, right now I'm dropping everything and I'm opening my Bible to the, because I do keep my little marker, like it's in Luke right now. It's been in Luke for too long. I'll just admit that. But it's in Luke. And I just say, you know what, I'm going to take 5 minutes right now. And it could be 1:27 in the afternoon. I mean, who's ever heard of studying the Bible at 1:27 in the afternoon? We know we're supposed to do it when we first wake up. It never fails that something shows up in the scripture that is so sweet and so relevant for where I am in that moment that I am 100% clear that God was waiting for me and meets me there. And that will snap me out of autopilot to realize, even though I'm the one that was going like a crazy woman, he doesn't change and he's not withholding. He's not hiding from me. He's there ready and waiting. And the blessing that I gained it's totally worth it. I mean, it always is. It never fails.
Well, that transitions perfectly into our scripture this week, which is Psalm 31:24, which says, "Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord." You know, we've talked about this before, but this idea of immeasurably more means that our hope is not in our circumstances. Mm. That's where we fall into the uns, yeah. I think, or that's where I get, is when I get over-focused on my circumstances, when my hope has been put on my circumstances rather than in the Lord. And so if we have our hope in the Lord, then we can be strong and take heart. Take heart kind of, it implies that there's something negative going on, doesn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you wouldn't have to take heart if everything was all good.
Mm.
And so he's saying, be strong, take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. It's like a little reminder, remember? That's where your hope is supposed to be.
So good. So what's the bad rule that we're breaking in these episodes?
My circumstances are my reality. I think that's where all the uns are rooted.
Yeah, that's so hard. So what's the truth? What's our fact for focus?
My reality rests on hope. And our hope should be in Christ alone.
So true. So where do you see the grit coming into all of this?
Well, you know, I mean, I'm still a girl who really struggles with getting mired in my circumstances. Last Thursday and Friday, I had this little thing going on. It was kind of precipitated by some stuff I was seeing on social media that really kind of shook me. And I tossed something out and got an answer back that didn't sit quite well with me. It was a series of circumstances that really started to undo me a little bit. And I was sitting on the airport getting ready to go to an event, you know, a place where I needed to be focused on the Lord. And I could feel this downward spiral. So it was from being a little shaken to being misunderstood, and suddenly, like, I was spiraling into this shame. And I've realized, we've talked about body stuff, I get a tingling on my scalp with shame, and I was having this major tingling, and I was like, and I seriously, I was even thinking about my marriage and going, oh my gosh, poor Barry. I mean, yeah, it was just like, I had spiraled down to like, nobody loves me, everybody hates me, I'm going to eat some worms, which it was just crazy. And so I have this tendency to do that and spiral. And I'm trying to take some steps to really break that. And that's the grit for me. When I start to feel the tingle on my scalp, isn't that weird? That's so weird.
Hey, no, but it's great that you've noticed it.
Or when I start to get this like one negative thought after the other, that I need to do something intentional to break it. So a couple of Fridays ago, I was also in a spiral. What is it about Fridays? Anyway, and I started to realize it. You know what I did?
What'd you do?
I said, Alexa, play 80s dance music. And let me tell you, I just turned it up really loud. And I started singing and dancing. When Barry came home, he was a little like, what is happening here? And I was like, hey, I wanted you to have a happy wife this afternoon. Gotta do what you gotta do.
Okay, so I want a video of you dancing to 80s music, and we should promise this to our Patreon supporters. I think they would love it.
I think we should promise not to send it to them. That would be
that is
so
hysterical.
Any grace in all this?
Well, okay, so I'm going to hop on a quick soapbox. I saw a meme the other day that really made me cringe, and it said something to the effect that if I don't sense God blessing me, maybe it's because I'm making my circumstances all about me, and he won't choose to bless me until I make my reality all about him. And here's the problem. I can't make my life all about him, no matter how hard I try. So the day I saw that and started getting, you know, I think I probably had a shame reaction to it. For me, it's a wrinkly feeling right between my eyes. So, yeah, that's probably what was happening. And so it was one of those days where I was like, it was probably 4 o'clock in the afternoon that I opened to Luke. I was reading a commentary on the centurion that Jesus healed his servant. And I'm just going to paraphrase this commentary. Our only claim on God's grace is our great need, not our own perfection, not our own performance, not our own ability to make our reality all about him, but our great need of him.
Ooh.
So all of our uncircumstances remind us of the reality of, and this is another quote, our utterly helpless condition without him, and that our hope is in him. And for me, that whole picture that it is my need, my neediness, that actually is my claim to God's grace. You know, I had to stop and read it like 5 times and go, what? This is so countercultural. And then to get to that phrase, my utterly helpless condition. And that I just, compared to that meme I saw, which I know was well-intentioned, but when I saw it, my heart sunk because I was like, but I can't do that. I cannot make my life all about God without God. And so to realize the grace that we live in and the hope we have because of that grace, as needy as we are, as completely helpless as we are in Christ and we have hope because of who he is and what he's done for us. Nothing that we do ourselves. We hope you've enjoyed episode 150 of Grit and Grace, Good Girls Breaking Bad Rules.
Head on over to gritandgracegirls.com/episode150. There you'll find our Digging Deeper download, a printable resource that helps you to apply what you've learned in this episode, and our show notes. There's a transcript as well for those of you who love to read.
If you've enjoyed this episode of Grit and Grace, we would so appreciate it if you would leave us a review. If you go to gritandgracegirls.com/review, you'll find a button that will lead you straight to iTunes and even a little video showing you how to leave a review.
Join us next week when we'll have a very special guest host, our friend Tanya Kubo. And Sherry will be sharing something one of a kind, right?
Woo-woo!
About a month ago, some of you saw the video and photos about our first ever Grit and Grace Girls getaway. Well, next week, you're going to get a little peek and a virtual trip to join us there.
For today, grow your grit. Embrace God's grace. And when you run across a bad rule, you know what to do. Go right on ahead and
break it.
We all know that rest is my year for the word, and I'm very excited about it. Rah, rah.
Hey, go back and say, we all know that rest is my word for the year. You said my year for the word.
Outtake material right there.